closer.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
And welcome back to Sportsaholics, episode number 135. Let me hear the blowing the whistle.
35.
Like
what, it's 135. She's what athlete do we have?
The Christian Okoye. I'm going to go with
the nightmare. The Nigerian nightmare.
The Azusa Pacific. The often forgot Los Angeles College area college.
God, I didn't even know we had a Los Angeles College.
It's Azusa. If you're not familiar with the Southern California, is about 25 miles east of downtown LA, or about 3 hour drive, depending on where it is.
It's also, Big Hurt was number 35.
Well, Frank Thomas, obviously,
so Big Hurt,
a 90s.
The Nigerian nightmare. And you know, Earl Christian Campbell, though he was 34 on the Houston Oilers, played for the Saints, 35, and he was the Tyler Rose. So this is like a big nickname. Like, number 35, it's not necessarily a very popular athlete number. But it is a nickname. If you were 35, there's a good chance you Nigerian
Campbell's?
Nightmare, the Tyler Rose, the Big Hurt. These are all nicknames. Number 35.
So was that based? Was he from Tyler, Texas? Is that what that
was?
He was
Tyler, Texas. Oh, Christian Campbell from Tyler, Texas.
And the Azusa reference is because I grew up. I was one of those kids in the Midwest. Anaheim Angels. I didn't know where California Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as far as I knew, they played in the middle, like, of Northern California. Azusa. I always thought that was a Central Coast thing. Nope, right in LA.
You know, like, you know what? When was the first time? Like, when did you first realize as a kid things like, oh, the LA? Well, for me, it was the LA Rams played in Anaheim, and which is weird. So they didn't play in Los Angeles at all. In fact, they didn't play in the same county. And then you have to find it like. Well, I guess the New York Jets, when I was a kid, the New York Jets still played in Shea Stadium, in New York State, in New York City, in Queens, I want to say. Then they moved in with the Giants in Giants Stadium in New Jersey. So there's that whole, like, because, you know, and then, like, Donald Trump, now President Trump, when he owned the USFL team, they were the New York, New Jersey Generals, which was it's a weird thing. I'm just saying, it's, you know, like, you know, the Patriots at least have that.
So they were like the Chris Christies, essentially, of the.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's a weird thing when you find out, you know, a team that has a name doesn't play where they say their name is.
And as far as the song, if you're not familiar with the intro song there, that is, of course, Band of Gypsies, Jimi Hendrix. Who knows? It's one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs. And the album itself, Band of Gypsies, front to back, fantastic.
Front to back.
I mean, I don't know. Are you not familiar?
I'm not familiar.
Well, I do. Verse yourself in some legendary Jimi Hendrix. It's not. It's far better than the greatest hits, because we've all heard the hits over the years, because they're just, they're in commercials, every movie. Like, you know, 20 Jimi Hendrix songs, even if you don't.
Foxy Lady. Exactly.
But look into Band of Gypsies. Obviously, that was just a sampling there coming up. Guys, first of all, thank you. I wanted to thank the people for commenting and subscribing on iTunes. Mr. Butterfly Mullet loves it. 5 stars. So thank you for that.
Man,
review.
I love a butterfly mullet.
And we've got from Baseball Fan 67, 5 stars. Great interview. So thank you guys for that.
Thank you.
And also, what was the other thing I wanted to? Jose Lima had bad numbers. I made these notes.
About Jose Lima? Why'd you do that? Jeez.
Okay, I remember what that was. So I put up this meme of the Jose Lima. If you go to our Facebook page, I've been kind of, they're like digital baseball cards, just kind of players where they play, just quick recaps, just rough stats. So I did one for
Jose. Virtual baseball cards.
I did one for Jose Lima, and some guy commented that he's like, oh man, look how horrible his ERA was. And yeah, it was, I don't know, a 4.57 was like a good year. A couple sure. sixes and nine, I
You're
think.
You're saying Lima time wasn't necessarily a low ERA kind of time.
Well, Lima time, I was quick to remind the gentleman, Lima time also pitched in the nut of the steroid era.
Wow.
And so that, I mean, a 5 ERA translates to a 3.7, I think, nowadays. Especially, I mean, look, Brady Anderson had 57 home runs or 42.
Woo, I remember Brady Anderson, that 90210 looking motherfucker.
Yeah, and he, you know, roided up. I think. I don't know if he's ever actually
caught. And I always thought it was the sideburns that helped him hit those balls out.
So, Ralph, that was my response. I hope you heard that. But thanks. You know, we always appreciate the feedback and comments and all that kind of
Love
stuff.
Love it.
But listenership is up. We just surpassed 100,000 listeners last week. So, guys, thank you. Or total listens on their past episodes for the past, I think, to 20 episodes or something. So thank you guys for that, spreading the word. Because now it's people didn't know what podcasts were when we first started this show 5-6 years ago.
I guess that's true.
They really didn't have any clue. So now more and more people are open to, you know.
We were like the pioneers of it, but we were very early, and now everyone has one. Like
it depends on. I mean, we didn't invent it, but there was nobody else really doing a podcast.
Yeah, we were one of the first people around the Comedy Store and stuff that were.
Oh, definitely
in.
At the Comedy Store. I mean, as far as we were recording our show there, you know,
And then it's one of those weird things where now they have a podcast studio.
Yeah, exactly.
They've actually had two different ones. Actually,
I used to have to lug my college volleyball bag full of equipment, weighed like 87 pounds, have like speakers in there and all that kind of stuff. But what I was getting at is, you know, you're in your car right now, or if you're at work, or you know, you find time to listen to these shows, and thank you guys so much for doing that, because you know we do it for you guys and the listeners and all your feedback and everything else. And you know, Sportsaholics, you know, try to stick together and inform and all that good stuff. But more and more people are listening to the shows now and understand the luxury of just having a show you can tune into once or twice a week.
That's right, man.
Kill your drive to work.
We're here to help you pass the day in a more amusing and informed way.
Exactly. And, you know, we appreciate you you guys reaching out to us, questions and all that kind of stuff and feedback. It's always appreciated.
Where are we? First quarter. Let's get this thing started.
I don't know. I kind of want to go into this Tom. You sent me this link about the Tom Brady rap song.
All right. So what happened was, of course, as some of you know, I was a very involved New England Patriot fan of the five rings, one of the comics at my show up go up that you can come to Sunday nights at the world famous Comedy Store.
Great show, packed out, runs till about 1 a.m.
So we're gonna give a little credit to Darren Davis for sort of running across this little. A comic sent me this on a Facebook message, and this was a Tom Brady diss track, you know, like the kids like to say, for the past two generations, you know, a diss. It's going to be mean things. It's going to be a little rap. It's going to be a little rap song, if you will. It's going to say mean things. Apparently, it's an Atlanta Falcon fan.
Yeah, so I looked it up. So it's at TGMULA or TG whatever.
I don't even know his name. It's not worth knowing.
Anyway, he's like, as far as I can gather, he's just rapping in a closet. But the song, and by the way, if you're listening at work, turn. There's going to be
some bad words.
There's about 48 to 60 F. Tom Brady's coming
this
up.
This is not suitable for work.
And nor is this even remotely close.
It may not be suitable for music. It may not be suitable for rap or even for dissing.
I don't know here. Can you,
there. Yeah, man. Fuck Tom Brady. Yep. Man. You already know what's going on. Y'all teach you more than this bitch. I'm straight rise ups, nigga. If you ain't no rise up, get the fuck out my face, nigga.
I love that he says rise
right
up.
Now, just straight rise up. If I see a Patriot jersey, I'm gonna snatch that shit off.
You try to snatch my Patriot jerseys.
Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady.
I actually, I gotta tell you, I love the hate.
Fuck Tom Brady. Regan ass nigga. Can't throw the ball. Regan ass nigga.
Yeah, he can't throw the ball. He just set a brand new Super Bowl record.
So right, we're already finding flaws in the rap song. What? At which point is he not throwing the ball is all I'm saying.
Who else did you want him to throw a touchdown to?
Yeah, he's picking guys that were ushers at movie theaters 3 years ago as wide receivers. So I mean,
yeah.
Can't throw the ball, rigging ass nigga. Can't throw the ball, rigging ass nigga. Can't throw the ball. Fuck Tom Brady.
Yep.
Fuck Tom
Brady. Here we are. Fuck Tom Brady. That's the hook. Fuck I think Tom they call it. I'm not sure.
Brady. Fuck Tom Brady.
Right.
Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady.
I mean, I'm not an expert in rap.
I think it's considered a hook if it actually like catches you.
Can't throw the ball, rigging ass nigga. He's playing balls.
He's cleaning balls.
This nigga be rocking the mini skirts. Hit that nigga with.
I don't know what he's saying. All right, so here's the thing.
It's not a mini skirt. So first of all, apparently he's calling him a transvestite. He's first line out.
You know
the
what?
Bat.
He lives with Gisele Bündchen and has kids with her and Bridget Moynihan, the actress from Blue Bloods, is his baby. Whatever will get you through. I don't care what you do in private or even semi public. You're a consulting adult. Now here's the thing. I'd like to say, I would like to send a lot of love out to all my Atlanta Falcon fans and friends and colleagues that have been, generally speaking, while they are of course upset, they were very gracious and cool. Like they didn't, you know, I didn't have any.
They were happy to be there. This was me being a Royals fan.
No, by the way, they might have. They are like La La Land. They're not happy to be there anymore. They got something. They had the Oscar in their hand, and then it got ripped out of their hand.
Well, it's because they know they're not going back anytime soon.
Here's what I'm saying now. But I want to say now.
I want to finish this song.
Here. Oh, okay, we're back.
That nigga, then put him in the dirt. Okay. Number 12 is a bitch, and his girl is a snitch. His girl pay his rent. Tom Brady got
him. Okay.
Oh wait, his girl does pay his rent. You mean Gisele Bündchen, one of the world's?
He's a snitch ass bitch, and his girl pays his rent.
Yeah, I don't think he pays rent. I don't think he get that.
Fuck with Belichick. Oh, yeah. Everybody knows Rick. He a dog. He a pig. Yeah.
He's a dog. He's a pig.
You tear your ACL. Yeah.
Cause
you a op. You not my friend. Yeah.
You're not my friend. You're not my friend.
Draco.
What?
Safe. Oh no.
Oh no.
Okay. This is proof right here. This is why you don't want to take music out of public schools. It's a place like this. Like this wouldn't happen back 20 years ago because, like, you would have learned like in a second or third grade music class there's a higher bar.
Hey Tom Brady. Hey Tom Brady. Hey Tom Brady.
At TG Mula. I'm like, you know, hey,
we'll give you some listeners.
I mean, you got like 108 followers on Twitter.
No, that's good. So, sweet.
No, come on now.
All right, I just want to get to this rise up point because he starts
Brady.
With the
fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady.
Okay.
Fuck Tom
Brady. We're a minute and 45 in. Minute left.
Ass nigga. Can't throw the ball. Rigging ass nigga. Can't throw the ball. Rigging ass nigga.
I don't even.
Can't throw the ball. Rigging ass nigga. Can't throw the ball. Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady.
I don't. Did
fuck
we?
Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady.
I love that bell in the back.
Bell is nice.
Fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady. Rigging ass nigga.
Okay. This is a horn. Rigging ass horn at some point, like an air horn going.
Nigga. Can't throw the ball.
Yeah. So
now, one thing I want to say
I love the passion. I mean, dude wrote a rap song dissing Tom. I mean, okay, look, I use the term wrote a rap song very loosely, but
it's a diss track.
It's a diss track.
It is absolutely a diss track. And here's the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me is, hey, Atlanta Falcon fans, don't ever say the word rise up. Your slogan, if you guys don't know, the Atlanta Falcons have a marketing slogan that they rise up. You know, like. You know, people get these little things. They get little, like the Patriots.
Catchy, it sells shirts. It's a hashtag. Everyone's got to have a hashtag.
Right, so they have hashtag rise up. Like the Patriots next season are going to be the Blitz for Six. Like that's their new thing, the Blitz for Six, going for a sixth title. But here's the thing. Atlanta Falcon fans, and especially young man who wrote this Tom Brady diss track, never, young man, you are never allowed to say rise up again. You know why? You don't know what rising up means. Young man, because you want to know what rising up is? I'll show you rising up. Rising up is being down 25 points in the third quarter and coming back with 31 unanswered points. Brother, that's rise up. I'll show you. You want to rise up? I'm rising up right now. I'm standing on my feet. I just rose up like Tom Brady. And you know what? You should hate Tom Brady, young man. You know why? Because he stole from you. He took a Super Bowl championship right out of your goddamn mouth. You had it. You were about to bite into it. It was about to be the most delicious meal you ever ate in your life, and he stole it from you. He stole a Super Bowl. He stole the term rise up right from you, your family, everyone
bitch
you know and
nigga,
love.
Trying to throw the ball.
Yeah,
rise up.
He took it from you. You should have hate Tom Brady. So good, good, good.
And look, look, if you're going to write an a Tom Brady diss,
yeah,
then where, like, where is the line? I'm going to shoot your ass like Aaron Fernandez, like Hernandez. Like,
oh, that's got a good one.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. Like, you got a murderer on your team. Like, you yeah. got a reference if you're because he threatened violence.
I got to tell you, though, it was nice. Your reaction to the ACL, especially as a Chief fan who did blow yeah, out
that
my
was,
guy's
that was our
knee.
Move, that was our move to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know. You just destroyed me 15
that,
minutes
that
into
was
the first.
Like, that was like a low blow, you know, in sports. Ugh. Like, we're taking out your knees. You're like,
it was
oh,
also
that's
just
like
you have
filthy.
To understand, like,
it's like worse
we
than
were
murder.
No Patriot fan. Like, we were all still reeling from the Super Bowl perfect. We were all the loss of the perfect season had left us reeling. As many of you know, I often refer to it as watching astronauts die right before they were landing on the moon. I was 35 seconds from landing a perfect season, and then suddenly it was like a fire was inside the capsule, and then it was like the Munich, and then it was like the Munich 72 Olympics, where Jim McKay goes, they're all gone, you know, where the Israeli Olympians were killed. It was a combination of like, it was like a bad moon landing, the 72 Munich Olympics, a fire. It was terrible.
Well, yeah, okay.
And then, you know, we gather ourselves, we pick ourselves up, and we get back, and here we are. It's September, and we're like, well, you know, we're not really going to chase a perfect season, but we really think our team is great. And what do you Chiefs do to us? You blow out Tom Brady. You come, Bernard Pollard comes in.
We give birth to Matt Castle to the world.
And then it came back and it got you. And so you got that.
I know we cursed
that
us.
Was karma like a mother.
Quick, would you trade three Super Bowls for one perfect season?
I would absolutely trade. Yes, I would.
So you would have then a total of two Super Bowls.
You know what? Perfect season is, it was an unbeatable thing. Well, what I would really say is now, what I would want is, I would definitely, you got to know, guys, I would trade that Philadelphia Eagle back-to-back one in a heartbeat. Like,
is it really? I mean, this perfect season is really the thorn in not – I don't even want to say the thorn in your side. It's like the thorn in a haystack on a bale of hay that's not even on your property that's like 2 miles away.
No,
you know what?
It's weird because there's a weird part now, especially like – here's the weird thing. Now that Tom Brady has 5 rings – it's like, you know, one of his failures is not landing the perfect season in a Super Bowl.
What
so
a
in a
great,
weird
like
way,
that's the smear.
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying is, in a weird way, the Patriots are the
18-1.
They're 18-1. Right.
18-1.
And what I'm sort of saying is,
Super Bowl loss.
Now it's like, you know, everyone tries to have these arguments about who's the greatest, which is the best team. You know, they do that kind of stuff. But it's, in a weird way, we never really talk about which team of the Super Bowl losers, like. Who is the best Super Bowl loser? Who's the great? Like, you know, look, the Jim Kelly four in a row.
The Bills,
there's a good argument that those guys are really like. If you were looking for, you needed somebody from. If you had to pick a team from the losing bracket, right?
You
got to
represent say that Patriots team's got to be.
But that's who you would pick. You like, hey man, if you were having, if you were fighting for your soul against the devil.
Because I'm trying
but
to
But you're
like,
only allowed to use a team that lost the Super Bowl.
I really like the Titans back in the McNair.
1 yard. You're saying the 1 yard away. That's a good call.
They
were
fun to watch. And, you know, they had, was it Wycheck, the old tight end?
Frank,
was it just a beast? And then I believe Eddie George was on the team.
Yeah.
But it. But so, yes, you would. 3 for 1, you trade them.
Three for one,
the perfect.
I mean, you know, it's hard. You know, yeah, I'd be down. You're saying I'd be down to two?
Yeah, you would have two total. You would have the same amount of appearances. So now you would have.
I don't know if I'd go two.
Five
but,
Super
I don't know
Bowl
if I
losses.
Because there's that weird part. Like it's like, you know, like LeBron is. What's LeBron? LeBron's like 2 for 6. I want to say there's a thing like LeBron was like 2 for 6.
No, because he's got 2 in Miami, so he's 3 for...
So, so he's 3, but I think he's then 3 for 7, whereas Brady's
like
5 for 7. And I would never... I would... You know, there's that... You know, straight up, that perfect season was a hell... That was the greatest team of... Because that made... That... The 07 Patriots, had they won that Super Bowl... See, well, there's a weird part of that, was because, you know, she's... Was the whole thing where... if they had they won that at that time, that would have like that would have been ring four for them. Like Brady and Belichick would have tied Chuck Knoll and Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana.
There's something about doing it consecutively. It's kind of like you're doubling down on blackjack. Like the value increases, you know, every year. Which same could be said about those Bills in the early 90s. Yeah. By that fourth year, you're just like, just shoot them in the head.
Oh, my God. That was just so bad. But I definitely, and that was a weird thing. I'll tell you, man, I definitely had that Buffalo Bill feeling during, I mean, guys, you have to understand, I examined my life during that third quarter. I mean, I did laundry. I mean, I got right with God. I mean, I really, it's like.
It was the best. It was Super Bowl 51, 52, yep. and 53 all in one Super Bowl. Really?
Well, I also like that it was like we've done 50 of these Super Bowls and we've never had an overtime. And now 51, like there's a good chance, like who knows, maybe the next 50 could all go to overtime.
What was the other thing? It was the 51st Patriots playoff game.
It was the 51st playoff game for the New England Patriots. It was also the 51st season anniversary for the Atlanta Falcons. Like, oh, okay. It was 51 was sort of a... That was also one of the things, like, I was very confident going in, like, well, there's a nice numerology, like, we have 51. And then all of a sudden I'm watching the game and you're going, wait a minute, this is the 50.
They get a 51 too.
Ah! And I was like, ah! It's like, yo, the best laid plans of mice and merinos.
Well, okay, what do you say, quarter one?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the diss track. And guys, I hope you enjoyed that weird little song. Yeah, and you know what? And
I hated it so much. I wanted to put it on the show. And guys, troll. If you want to troll, at TGMULA.
That's maybe, you know,
you're not on Twitter.
The and, other thing you is, know,
guess
I'm,
you're not,
I am.
Look,
I am
when on, Mo Vaughn started following us today, like you didn't get to experience that. Like we log on, you're like, oh, Mo Vaughn's following me.
I'm
now.
On Twitter. I'm just, it's just my avatar egg has not hatched.
That's
you know
fine.
What I'm still a, That's I'm fine. Still a little egg on the Twitter.
Guys, sponsors, real quick. If you need a shirt printed up anywhere in the country, you live in Alaska, Hawaii, Tennessee, wherever. If you live in Tennessee, I hope it's in, you know, Nashville. I haven't heard too much good about the rest of the state. But what I'm saying is if you need a cheap shirt, cost-wise, really good, and in San Diego, La Jolla, by all means, you're going to want to stop at Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street, Kitty Corner or Catty Corner from the world
Kitty
famous
Corner.
Comedy yeah. store in La Jolla. So by all means, check them out. And then, of course, since we,
La Jolla,
I figured like goodness. since we opened up with the Jimi Hendrix, who knows? I'm going to come in. This is the digital underground, the way we swing. I mean, because they sample it, so it's like a good. So in the first quarter, we'll be back in the second quarter. Right after this.
My name is Humpty.
We won't be rocking bells to go a ding and a dong. The bass drum or hip, I won't be lingering on. Check out the way we kick it on the microphone. The funky beat is playing and we're swinging along. The underground is rocking with the hip-hop song. The drums are ringing with the serious tone. The clock ticks, y'all, we're on the microphone. The MCs, you like the way we swing? Well, listen close and make sure you don't miss a thing. Don't you know that we're the microphone masters? Known to MCs as the raw dog bastards. We bust rhymes and write every day. So listen close to the things that we say. Triple slipping MCs will get verbally raped.
All right, we are back for quarter two, and again, that's some good old Humpty Dance Digital Underground, the way we swing. It's always classic going on, I think, 25 years.
Tupac
was in.
Yeah. A backup dancer.
In Digital Underground. Tupac was in Digital Underground. He might have even been in the Humpty Dance video.
Oh, well, yeah.
Tupac, rest in peace.
I'm so
legend.
Good. Tupac's my backup dancer.
I wanted to talk about the Jameis Winston speech thing. You somehow didn't.
I don't know this story.
So
how
he went into a school and was giving a elementary school pep talk,
okay,
or whatever. And so he spotted a kid, you know, the kid who's doesn't have a dad and who's depressed. He's got his hand on his shoulder, like mopey kid, and he tries to
pep him up.
So doesn't maybe do it the best way, but he's like, all right, all the boys get up. And, okay, here.
All
I'm
right.
just going to play it, and tell me if at any point this sounds bad.
I can do anything I put my mind to. Okay, I know I got a lot of people like this. All my boys, all my young boys stand up, man. The ladies sit down, sit down. But all my boys stand up.
All the boys.
We strong, right? We strong. We strong, right? Okay, all my boys, just tell me one time. I can do anything I put my mind to. A lot of boys don't supposed to be soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying? One day y'all going to have a very deep voice like this. Right now y'all talking like this. But one day y'all going to have a very, very deep voice. But the ladies, they supposed to be silent, polite, gentle. But my men now, my men supposed to be strong. Okay, so I want y'all to tell me what the third rule of life is. I can do anything I put my mouth to scream it.
I guess I don't know what the first two are.
Now we're missing. Down now.
First, the first two are stealing crab legs from Publix.
See, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. You're sleepy, baby. You're sleepy. Look, your fist. Listen, having your fist like this, that's basically you punching
resting
yourself.
On his chin.
You're punching yourself. Sit up straight.
Punching yourself.
I want to see. You see this bright jersey? You can see this from a mile away.
Nice. And he walks up to the kid and tries to.
Three. Okay, I got you.
All right.
So, okay. Your thoughts initially. Obviously, there were a couple times where you kind of cringe.
Yeah, the girl should be silent.
In 2017. Like, I feel like it's one of those things where.
I was really.
4 years ago, this is not a story at all. But you do kind of like. Eh.
I think this is always a story. I don't think that. I mean, I don't think that was. I don't think that's been cool actually in my lifetime. I think it actually is more common or maybe a little bit more accepted, but I don't think it was ever cool in my entire 45 years of life. I got to tell you, Sheez, when I listened to it, I was so hoping that it was just like that he was going to give the girls a little they can do anything they want to do too.
This thing is like an 18 minute. This is a minute and 24 seconds clip. So I don't know.
But he said silent. Like, he went exactly where I didn't want him to go.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially they should be silent when they're testifying against you as for sexual assault, I guess, right, Jameis Winston? So what really is the first rule is girls should be silent when testifying against alleged sexual assault. The second rule is don't pay for crab legs at a Publix grocery store. And the third rule is boys can do anything they want, right?
Tablets are free if they're in someone else's backpack. Was that him?
You know, it's like there's one of those things where you know, I never like to be one of those people that you know, there are people out there like I think Hollywood celebrities should shut up about their political views, or I think athletes should shut up about. But then there's a point where you just go, I really need Jameis Winston to stifle it. I need him. I like Jameis Winston would be better if he were silent.
That's true. Like we wouldn't get these clips if the celebrities did keep their mouth shut. And he's probably pitching 2% whole milk at a school, like, you know, fitness thing.
Right.
And he singles out one kid who's just not participating.
Right.
Which leads to this. So I think, I don't know, he should have said two words differently. Everybody stand up instead of give me my boys stand up.
I was okay with the boy. I really was. Like, I was okay with doing boys and girls, but you needed to sort of, like, I think you need to be.
Everything's got to be inclusive. So everyone up together, then, like, that. Yep. That but right. Once he had just the boys, then you're like, he's just talking to the boys at that point.
So
you can't include any of the girls with the statements. And then he came through, you know, the guy's got to be, you know,
strong.
This and Tom and this. It's like, I'm surprised.
You're going to have a deep voice, you're going to be strong.
I didn't really hear it. I'm really shocked someone from the gay community didn't come out and say something about that. You know, like, oh, really? Guys are supposed to be this way? And then from the girl side, Chamika Holsklaw, I hope I'm saying her name right. Hall of Famer WNBA player.
Oh, yeah.
She came out and was like, oh, girls are supposed to be polite and this and soft. It's like, no, but like, they're not.
Women can come hard in the motherfucking paint, like our good friend Leslie Jones.
Absolutely.
Leslie Jones, by the way, who's now on the cover of ESPN the magazine with Porzingis.
Oh,
you know
really?
What I'm saying? Because she's also become like a big, like, she's becoming one
you
of
know,
those.
That'd
like,
be a cool, that'd be like a cool ESPN, like.
Oh, it's a great cover. Guys, go out and check out ESPN the magazine with Leslie Jones on the cover. She also has a great, great interview. You know, she played, as she's been on our show. She took me to the Olympics, so I got to go to the Olympics.
Yeah,
with Leslie
just,
Jones.
You know, killing
you know,
it.
And she played D1 ball at Colorado State. You know, she's a real, and she may, there's a weird point where she won't have to, like, remake that Whoopi Goldberg movie, Eddie. where she might really start coaching the Knicks. Like, I think there's an actual chance where she may live. You know,
I mean, if she can get
like,
in there. I mean, she's really, like, her voice travels. So, really, from a fourth row back, I feel like she could actually coach, still actually be influential.
She was at the game yesterday. Steph Curry
so
came right
really,
over and high-fived.
But she grew up in L.A., so she's warming up to the Knicks now?
Yeah. I mean,
you don't really have a choice, right, if you're on SNL. And
yes. Yeah. It's also living in New York. It's like she's starting to like the Yankees, you know, going to Yankee games. And I'm like, all right, we got a problem.
Yeah,
we got a problem.
We're not. Yeah, call me back later. We are not talking Yankees. So if he were to do this all over again, this speech, this advice, because, I mean, look, all the advice was saying was like, just rise up. you know, you guys will be men one day. Your voices will drop, you know, and just, you know, fight and, you know, just. It was a positive message. I feel like he really dug himself a hole when he excluded the girls immediately. And again, there's probably more to this, and I'm sure, because look, he's on step 3 of his 12 steps to happiness, Jameis Winston program.
Is that what it is?
I'm assuming something like that.
All right.
But right, I mean, that's all you do differently.
I think if you're going to say boys, then I think you have to say girls and then be positive and say they can be anything they want to be. You know, it's like, you know, I mean,
and interchange them constantly so they can't edit out clips to make you look worse than it is.
Yeah, but
so.
I mean, it wasn't the problem that he said the boys. The problem is then when he said the girls need to be silent, that is where that's the turn on the road where I say he slid right off.
Well, at least he got to drive on the road, whereas some we learned this week, some Major League Baseball players in their quest to come to America from
Cuba. This is a very interesting story.
From Cuba.
Yep.
In fact, I guess 8 parts of their passport to prevent.
Great story. She's Jose Abreu of the Chicago White Sox. First baseman of the Chicago White Sox was recently in a court case. He had to testify because this is about one of those things. Like, evidently, there are people, she's, that almost like, as you know, they have the coyotes who bring people from Mexico. Well, there's sort of like a Cuban baseball agent
version
of this, where we learn how these guys smuggle Cuban ball players who evidently, like, I think Abreu said he was something making like $20 a week as, you know, on the Cuban national team. And so they have a. There are two guys that are on trial.
I think he signed for $85 million with the White Sox.
So there are two guys that are currently on trial and a third man who's their fixer, who evidently is a fugitive from justice. And what happens is they smuggled him to Haiti. And then,
boat ride to Haiti. Then you get a plane.
But no. Because then also remember, part of it is under like baseball rules and whatnot. You sort of have to, like, all these guys that come over, that come out of Cuba, that, you know, that ran out of Cuba defected, they have to establish resident. If they establish residency in another country like Haiti, they now can sign a. It means millions and millions of dollars. But then he crosses from. You know,
then they
Haiti.
Can become a free agent.
So then he goes. But then he goes over to the Dominican Republic, where he starts. You know, that's where he shows off his talents. They start negotiating. He goes back to Haiti, where they try to get a Cuban passport, but then he can't get a Cuban passport. But they say, okay, we're going to give you this fake name, this fake Haitian passport. He gets on a plane, and then he gets there, and they tell him, like, they won't let him in. They will not let him into the United States with this fake Haitian passport. So he is told to destroy it. So he goes to the bathroom. He rips out the first page. He throws the whole passport in the passport in the garbage, but he now has the one page that would indicate it's his, the picture and
with all the fake.
Well, he takes that back to his seat, and interestingly, he says he orders a beer. It's very specifically a Heineken. Evidently, guys, if you're gonna eat your passport, Jose Abreu says Heineken, the beer to eat your passport with. Now, the one thing I don't understand about the story, and evidently, he ended up paying these guys. Like $5 million.
Well, it was a percentage. Like
they're
due for is like 20% cut, sure. Which is part of the trial is the extortion and things like that are factored in.
That's what part of the court.
For the record, he was instructed to just destroy the passport.
Right. No one told him he had to eat it. Now, that was his choice, I guess. But evidently,
smart
there also
choice,
he really. Was in the bathroom, and then all of a sudden there were flight attendants knocking, and so he ripped it out. He then went ordered the beer, the Heineken. But here's the one thing that I don't actually understand, Cheese, and I don't know if you do, but we can kick it around a little bit. So he gets on a plane with a fake Haitian passport. And then he lands. He's now eaten the passport. He doesn't have the front page with his picture is digested. It's in his colon. It's in his belly. And the rest of the passport is sitting in the garbage, you know, in one of the in the bathrooms. But now he's in Atlanta or wherever.
It's
you know, wherever
weird Tom Hanks thing. He's stuck in the airport.
I'm just saying, how did you actually then get into America? Because now you don't have travel documents. So it's like you got on a plane with travel documents.
This is strictly coming off headlines only, probably from Fox, something like referencing this, that it was a provision some sort of amnesty. If you got it, was like a 1 foot wet dry thing.
So oh, you know, because he was Cuban. Got, maybe that is it.
If you got to America.
Oh, that is it. You know what? You got it. See, she's that's why we're together. She's that is the wet foot dry foot.
But according to this, what I'm assuming is a Fox headline. It was that Obama did away with that at some point.
Wet foot dry foot has just ended because we've also started to normalize relations with Cuba.
It's not. Yeah,
you can now travel. There's an American embassy that's open in Cuba. So it's also like, hey, if we're going to start normalizing relations, we can't still have this old Cold War mindset where and in that sense, it's like we need people to start emigrating.
I know. I mean, God forbid, take a page out of that and apply it to South America and the border. You know, no. It's like we could maybe get somewhere. You know, that's a whole. That's not even another episode because I would never even want to get into an immigration discussion.
The only wall that I agree with is in Fenway Park. That's what I say.
Green monster.
If that wall's not painted green, then I don't like it.
Now, real quick, can you break down the New England accent? Like, because it's like, oh, that the cars are parked. What's the cars are parked?
Car park have a yard?
Yeah, cars are parked and have a yard.
Here's one thing that everyone does. It's like you have to understand that the greatest comparison that I've ever heard is it's like the New England accent is basically like honking geese. And it's a lot of honking. And it's,
where did you hear this? That I mean, that's actually
Someone was writing about the area I grew up in and said it was just like every mile there's a Dunkin' Donuts and people just honk at you like they're geese. And as soon as I said that, I'm like, that is where I'm from. There's always a Dunkin' Donuts and people just no sir. I mean, my cousin said there's no. What I'm about to say, people, is the two words no and sir, no sir. But my cousins that I grew up with and I love, no sir, no sir. If they thought something was not true in any way, oh, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. And you're like, and so there's you're practically saying NASA, you know, the space agency. Right. So what I always sort of say is the one thing is New Englanders are trying to speak as quickly as humanly possible. So we are cutting off.
And trimming the fat wherever.
Right, boss, I gotta get a, you know, Larry, you know, we just gotta, you know, unless, you know, occasionally like Bird, Larry Bird, like that's what that, we'll take that a little long. But, you know, it's, you know, they're wicked fucking awesome.
Well, within, like, say what you just said, wicked fucking awesome. Like, where in Boston does that accent, or is it all pretty much just?
No, that's different. I mean, you know, it's like okay, like the Kennedy. That Teddy Kennedy thing, JFK thing, that is Hyannisport. That's like that's the Cape Cod.
Okay.
You know, and so there's a rural thing like Mainers have a I've been there, and
that does sound different.
You know, so can I take this road up to Portland? Sure, but they got all the roads up to Portland they need. That's from Bert and I. That's a well known comedy team up in you know, classic from Mainers.
Which. The main reminded me of it. It happens only spring. I went back and watched the pilot to that last episode. You guys remember I pulled the audio from the Happens Only Spring, the trailer.
Yeah.
Two times in a minute. Wow, you sure do got some nice dames over there. Like, it says the word dames two times in the trailer. Yeah. I'm going to actually watch that. It happens every spring.
It happens every spring.
It's like a post-World War II, in that early mid-40s.
Yeah, and there's a great catcher in it who you swear is sort of, he just is, like, whoever they have, the character actor, is like so Yogi Berra-like.
Yeah. You're like, is that Campanelli? Is that the?
Oh, yeah, Roy Campanelli.
Yeah. Pre-car accident, but all right, guys. Was that quarter two?
That's the half.
That is, guys. We are approaching halftime, and guys, real quick, Topeka, Kansas, March 15th, coming up next week. It's already coming. Louis Lounge, 8 p.m. That's a Wednesday night. Thursday night, Avenue HQ, in Jefferson City, 8 p.m. Eric refers to this as my
jazz tour.
There it is, and
Midwest
of course,
jazz tour.
Let's not forget March 17th and 18th at the Blue Room in Spring,
that's St. Patrick's Day,
Field, Missouri, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. both Friday and Saturday nights. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 in when you walk up at the door. So, guys, please, if you are in Topeka, Jefferson City, or Springfield, or know anyone in around that area, come out to those shows. I'm excited for it. Been hitting up mics all up and down Southern California in preparation with some new material
for this.
So, yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to get back to Midwest and, doing my thing. I got too much soul for the world, and it's breaking my heart.
But I can't even talk to you about my effect on people, 'cause I'm doing the same thing to you.
And welcome to Sportsaholics Halftime Report.
Halftime Report!
I'm here with Eric Marino. Eric, how is the show going so far?
Man, I think we're doing big stories and little stories. We had a youngster with a diss track for Tom Brady that in some ways was lots of fun. We had fun with
it
that.
Was true.
We learned about now we went international with the Abreu eating his passport. We now
crazy
know that
stories.
That Heineken crazy. Is the beer of choice when eating a passport, fake passport. Mm-hmm. Maybe Heineken goes with a Haitian passport. Maybe you need a different beer. If it's from if the fake
it is skunky like a Haitian. Well, that concludes our halftime
report. Looking forward to the second half, she's
coming right up.
I don't like it, but it's true. I got too much soul for the world. It's breaking my heart in two. Like I got too much soul for you.
All right, and we are back to start of quarter three. And that, what you guys just heard, one of my favorite bands, Hockey. Just Hockey, like the sport, Hockey band from Portland. I think they're actually, they may have, that song's from like 10 years ago called Too Fake. They may, I don't even know. Like, you go to their website, it just says in studio, so I don't even know if they're
touring. A band called Hockey.
They're great. I love them, man. It's one of those weird albums that it didn't really get a lot of press or play, but it's like 8 out of the 10 songs are
good one.
Phenomenal.
Good one.
So definitely check that out, the band Hockey. All right, we're here. Quarter three. We have paced ourselves, I felt, and I think you've been holding back on some of your Patriots angst, and you've been sniffing at the Le'Veon Bell comments, and then
and we have we're going to play the audio, and in some ways I you can't blame him as much, because I realize Stephen A. Smith asked him the question, if you're not hurt, what happens?
And that's what Stephen A. does. He's the, and look, everyone was all over this guy, like, oh, he's reinventing running back and the way he dances and all this stuff. And it's just, I feel so bad for football coaches right now that are coaching eighth grade, because everyone saw that. And this upcoming season, everyone's going to be trying this, just getting laid. You don't understand, like, when you go into the hole and you start dancing.
Oh, yeah.
If you can escape like Le'Veon Bell, that's great. But if not, you're just going to get laid out, because you're just standing right in the middle.
Escapability is maybe the rarest of athletic talents.
And that's what makes him so special. But
You can't all be Steph Curry. You can't all be Le'Veon Bell.
And look, here's the thing. Just give. I mean, don't think every day since the Super Bowl ended, or even since these defensive coordinator seasons have ended, they're watching tape and they're figuring out a way to
blow you up.
To
lay
this,
you out.
To cage this guy up. All right, so here's Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
Talking just absolute nonsense, I guess, would be the best.
That's the way to say it.
It always helps, you know, whenever these things. Are you going to play?
If you did not get hurt in the AFC Championship game, what would have happened against the New England Patriots?
What would have happened?
Yep.
I think we beat them. I think the first time we played them in the beginning of the year,
which is an interesting point.
Gave away. We was playing
so with, you also you know, lost quarterback in the early game.
Been. I think when we was playing in the AFC Championship game, you know, I was when I was out there, I wasn't feeling well at all, you know. But the fact that I was out there, their game plan was so different, just because the fact I was out there, you know. And I think, you know, if I go out there and healthy, and you know, we go out there, and, you know, do what we do and normally do.
So he's saying, he's saying that he would have been a big enough distraction to keep. Everyone else open and
maybe
Brown getting some touch. So what happened in the first game? You guys just destroyed them, right?
We also beat them, because we only lost two games. You know, we lost two games. We lost one to the.
Was there much more to that clip? Was that
That's it. Sure.
Yeah, and look, then that's just him like adding an extra $1 million onto his salary, or you know, just hyping up what is Le'Veon Bell and like the phenomenon.
Well, let's deal with like you know in the world of sports, geez, we have the if question. You know, and he wants to play the if game. And I'll tell you, every New England Patriot would love to play. You want to play the if game, Bell? I'll play the if game, because if David Tyree doesn't catch that effing ball on his effing helmet, I'm the undefeated Super Bowl champs. I'll be 19-0. You want to play the if game? I love the if game. I'm better at the if game than you are. All Patriots are better at the if game than you are, Le'Veon Bell. Because I'll tell you what you guys always do. You lose to the Patriots in the AFC Championship. The Patriots go to the Super Bowl three times by beating y'all Pittsburgh Steelers.
And, you know, it's which coincides with the Patriots love beating other people, other mascots that are actually people. You know, we discussed this.
Oh, no, that's what we have trouble with. No. Like, we beat animals. We beat Rams. We beat Panthers. We beat Eagles. We beat Falcons. What we have trouble with is Giants. We do have trouble with Giants.
Occasionally.
A Patriot is a little.
So I guess the Steelers, for the most part, minus 2 years in the playoffs. So you guys are pretty well off amongst.
And I'll tell you another if. Hey, Le'Veon Bell, if you hadn't gotten busted with LeGarrette Blount in Pittsburgh driving with weed in your car, then, and if that hadn't happened, then LeGarrette Blount may never have had the problems he did on your team in Pittsburgh and walked off the team and walked right back onto my team, which I'll have to have you know that he has won not one, but two Super Bowl rings since you got busted for weed.
I've always been torn on Blount. One, a great name. And yeah. Played for the Ducks. And he's an Oregon Duck. So sure. He's one of these Pac-10 guys, and this was back when Oregon was good. Yeah, Pac-12.
But it wasn't.
He might have been the Pac-10, actually, when he was there.
He wasn't the Pac-10.
But if you remember, there's the infamous game where he punches the Boise State lineman in the face after after a game. And look, I wasn't on the field. It's a brutal. I mean, he lays the guy out. He lays the guy out. We don't know what was said. But the guy, the look on the Boise State lineman, he had such a look that it was a punchable face, first of all. And and his appearance was of such that said, like, there's a possibility there might have been something said there that you couldn't repeat on TV.
Sure.
You know, I don't dare I say racial or whatever it may have been, but I'm just saying the guy kind of looked shitty. And so,
someone said something racial or about someone's heritage.
And this was going right into the – and I'm just sorry, Idaho, just labeling you, blanket. We all know that Eastern Washington and Idaho are the southern states of the Northwest. It's the deep south of the Northwest.
It's one of the greatest things. They do not tell you that Eastern Washington is Kansas. Like, they always sell you that sort of, like, Douglas fir, Seattle, you know, the Boeing, the
120 miles east of that. Once you get east of the Cascades, it's just, Manhattan. Eastern Oregon and Washington –
And there's some law that you must not be allowed to, like, knock down a old barn, because I swear to God, like, every piece of property in Eastern Washington seems to have some old dilapidated barn on it. And I feel like there must be some rule that you can't knock these things down.
But that is, I think it's as farming's gotten bigger, more industrial, so you don't the need to have, like, grandpa's old barn.
Yeah.
And then the land gets divided up between family, and then ultimately it's just on whoever's got that chunk with the barn to keep it up. And like, we don't even store our equipment in there, and it's more of a relic. Like, hey, I didn't even grow up playing in that barn. Dad did back in the 50s, and so I don't want to tear it down. And yeah, so there it stands, you know, as you drive by it, you know, do the thing.
By the way, since we're finish this up with the Steelers, I would like to thank the Pittsburgh Steelers for making Antonio Brown the highest paid receiver after he Facebook lived his locker room and created a great distraction. And now they're going to make Bell the highest paid. You know, it's like, guys, I don't know how to keep telling you this. You shouldn't have the highest paid anything in anything, because the Patriots are winning and they don't have the highest paid of nothing.
This is just to keep the fans happy, and we talked about it a little bit last week.
You want to keep the fans happy, win something, man.
Yeah, I know, but it's Steeler Nation, yellow towels, terrible towels, all that kind of stuff.
Black and yellow.
Roethlisberger is done after, if not next season, the season. So they're trying to.
By the way, in Mexico, he has three nicknames: Chubby, the Chubby One, the Burger.
They're just trying to soften the blow for whenever Big Ben departs. It's as simple as all
that's
of
right.
it. But there was one. What you want to end the quarter here? Or what are you thinking?
No. You had some breaking news about Twitter followers. I think you wanted to get into.
Yeah, that was just fun, you know, mentioned it briefly, touched on it earlier. But you know, it's nice when you do a sports show and then one of the guys whose baseball cards you collected as a kid.
Wait, who? What
starts
happened?
Following?
So we have a new Twitter follower.
Yeah, Los Angeles Angels legend Mo Vaughn.
Wait, Mo Vaughn. You mean Red Sox 1995 MVP? Mo Vaughn,
the same guy,
is now following us. Following Sportsaholics on Twitter.
Yep, really?
This isn't This isn't like. I mean, is this the real Mo Vaughn? Like, how do we know? Like, because
it's verified. There's the blue check mark.
I'm going to tell you this. You know what's interesting, guys? Here's an interesting just a sidebar here. She's quick Twitter sidebar. It's amazing that we live in a country where Donald Trump can be the president of the United States. But you know what Donald Trump can't be? He can't be Donald Trump on Twitter. He has to be the real Donald Trump because he's not – like somebody else must be Donald Trump on Twitter.
Someone else stole his
– So it's verified. So he's the real MoveOn.
Yeah, I reached out to him. I was like, you know, ask him to be on the show. We reached out to some of the management. So hopefully we'll be an email back in the next couple of weeks and hopefully talk to MoveOn.
You know, she's back in the 90s. I mean, I am a huge MoveOn fan. And I'm always actually a little bit sad that
that's probably like right at the height of your like Red Sox fandom.
Well, it's actually that it's sort of the beginning. It's like in 1995, that's when they break into the three divisions. They start the wild card. The Red Sox win that first AL East crown. But then that's like they haven't figured out the wild card. That's where we go to Cleveland. And the Mariners of the West went to the wild card Yankees for the first two games, and like the
it's a best of five where you get screwed almost because you go
right.
Away
so we then... got swept. So we actually got swept in that series. But it was and that was also so. A couple things happened then because that is also I was out here. I was working on Ellen, and it was like my first season on Ellen, and that's where I came up with that was my 100-year. That was my 100-year rule that I just felt that. A baseball. At that point, as a Red Sox fan, we hadn't won. At that point, it was it wasn't 86 years. It was probably, I'd have to say it was
close probably to 90.
No. So in 95, it would have been 70. It would have been 77 years or something. It would have been like 77 years. It'd be a 77 year drought in 95. And I just said, hey, look, we won in 2000. I mean, we won in 1918. I just want to win by 2018. Okay. And by the way,
so you said
100 years, like 25 years. I was giving myself to 2018. And by the way, we are now 1 year away from that 2017 as we record this. Three rings in the bell.
I know, maybe even a fourth if David Price can stay healthy.
Hey, I want to know how Mo Vaughn's doing. I got, you know, it's like Poppy. I mean, Poppy just retired.
Mo Vaughn looked pretty healthy in his profile picture.
And, you know, during the 90s, so we're talking about Mo Vaughn and we're here. And thank you, Mo Vaughn. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, what I'd like to say is there was a thing that it made me realize because this was – remember, guys, this was the height of steroids. We were talking about that earlier, height of steroids. So, you know, this was
Mark McGuire. Inflated ERAs. Don't forget that, people. Baseball fans, don't forget it.
Like, he literally was like the – you know, he was like a Red Hulk.
Big Mac land, yes. Yeah. Red. I'm sure there's a caricature.
The Cardinals, he was always like just flushed red because of his coloring. And so I used to ask people questions. It's like if you had to get punched in the face, she's – all right. A Major League Baseball player is absolutely going to punch you in the face, but you have a choice of two major leaguers who will punch you in the face. You can either have Big Mac, you know, Mark McGuire at his roidiest, biggest, you know, crushing home runs like a child's play, or Mo Vaughn. So would you prefer? Someone just gets to rock your face with a shot to the skull.
Okay, do you know where Mo Vaughn? We look it up. It depends on where Mo Vaughn grew up, because I know Mark McGuire grew up in sunny Southern California, a USC Trojan. And you know, this goes back to it's kind of like that fighting big thing where it's like just because you're big doesn't necessarily mean you know how to fight. And so if it comes to find out Mo Vaughn's from, you know, like Detroit or like inner city, you know.
You know what it is? It's Norwalk, Connecticut. Because I remember him and John Valentin, our third baseman, played together in college.
Is Norwalk rough? I mean,
attended New Canaan Country School in New Canaan, Connecticut.
Okay,
so he went to Seton Hall and he played with John Valentin.
I think I'm gonna go.
His teammates also Craig Biggio. I think who was also in the Red Sox. I want to say was at one point in the Red Sox system. So and by the way, you know what?
So great. Valentin, Biggio, and all playing for
John Valentin. Yeah, that Seton Hall team.
And Mo Vaughn all for Seton. Yeah, for a
pretty good
Hall
team.
Wow, that is really.
And I'll tell you this. Remember, we're doing episode 135, which is we're doing as a nickname. Mo Vaughn had a great nickname, the Hit Dog. The Hit Dog was
the
great.
Hit Dog.
The Hit Dog, absolutely.
But to answer your question, I think I'm gonna get punched in the face by what was his stats? Mo Vaughn, was he like a 6'2", 265?
It's a great these are also great questions.
Because I know McGuire was a 6'4", like a 250 kind of a at his peak, maybe somewhere around there.
Well, just, he's 49.
Just ridiculously.
I didn't know he was only like 49.
That'd be hilarious if it actually just has his modern. It's like 49 years old, 5'10", 270.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't have his. I don't have his height.
It has like his physical check-ins from like last year at the doctor. I'm gonna get punched. I'm gonna say just
from
on the,
Norwalk, Connecticut, fighting out of
I'm gonna get punched in the face by Mark McGwire. I'm gonna assume that some sort of East Coast, Boston, New England fighting thing runs deep in the water.
He just looks like a man
there.
Who really knows how to rock your world.
Yeah, just a big beast of a man. Crush home runs one-handed, I'm sure. And was an American League MVP. And so I'm going to...
275.
Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire can punch me in the face. And look, here's the thing. Both punches are going to hurt incredibly bad.
Yeah.
It kind of gets to the point where do you want to get punched so hard that you just get knocked out and don't even think about it?
6'1", 240. He was 6'1" and 240 when he was
That's a big man. That's a small defensive tackle. That's a mini defensive tackle is.
I have been that. Or a fullback. I have been that exact.
That's
size.
A fullback that also. So I'm going to go with Mark McGwire definitely. Now Dan McGwire, I don't know. That's another thing because. Let's not forget, amazing quarterback, San Diego State, Mark McGwire's brother.
No.
You don't remember Dan McGwire?
No, tell me
pull
all
up,
about
pull,
it.
I don't. It's
I'm doing
been,
it.
Pull up Dan McGwire. See, Dan McGwire, I only knew from football cards. And this is what's so great. If you have kids or if you're an adult with extra free time and money, that's collect cards. That's what the trading cards were so good about. It was, hate to say, pre-internet, but you knew stats. You knew hometowns. You knew you had this certain image of like this Jerry curl and like this.
That says he's 6'8"?
Yeah, he was a giant. Yeah, this McGwire family was just.
That's weird. 6'8", 240. So he's 7 inches taller than Mo Vaughn, but the exact same weight.
And it's kind of like Brock Osweiler, but from 1991 or something like that. Sure. But yeah, was he?
He does crazy look like his brother. I don't think I was ever really aware of.
Of a Dan McGwire?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. Did he make the NFL?
Yeah, Mark McGwire, 6'5", 250, so a little bit heavier.
Big dude. Does it say if Dan McGwire made it in the? I mean, he must have. I had his card. I mean, I think he was one of those like high, like he got drafted high because of all of his like
Seattle Seahawks and the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, yeah, and you know because they're like 6'8", 250. This guy's that can't miss. And
played
then,
from 91 to 95.
There you go, Dan McGwire. Look, you just learned something.
I just did.
Oh, and you know what? I'm going to make that as one of our sports cards for next time.
Absolutely.
Online. And then also those.
We're going to have to make a Mo Vaughn. You're going to have to make a Mo Vaughn because he also just looking is like do you remember Mo Vaughn the Met? And by the way, guys, greatest things is. It was a sad day. In fact, I remember exactly the Irish bar I was in when I saw. I was in the Clatter in Lawrence, Massachusetts when I looked up and it was like Mo Vaughn signs for the free agent Anaheim Angels.
97?
Yeah, but I was going to say it's $80 million. Like I think remember how much it was. But much like how you got like much how Pollard hurt Tom Brady in that very first game, when Mo Vaughn playing first base in Anaheim, very first game, like the season starts, their new big free agent signing, there's a foul ball, he goes over, and in those, right then, they didn't have those railings. They had low graduated steps. So he actually fell down the dugout stairs and got injured.
On the cleat slip, on the
car. Right, and now they have that, you know, they have that padded, protected railing.
Everything.
Right.
Everything.
Most franchises do, but that was a crazy thing. Like you paid $80 million for Mo Vaughn, but then you lost him on the first game because you didn't think to.
And that's $80 million, 90s bucks. That's a sweet contract. Yeah, well, so you got the Dan and Mark McGwire. A lot of people, one of the cards or one of the online. And again, go to our Facebook page, Sportsaholics with an X. And I post all the pictures up
there.
He
was drafted. Dan McGwire is generally considered a first-round bust, quote-unquote, from Wikipedia. Yeah. And you know who he was drafted in front of? He was drafted in the first round in 1991. You know who went in the second round?
I have no idea. That's
Brett Favre. Brett Favre.
With the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Was it the 37th overall pick?
I'm just saying, this is also a bad episode for the Falcons.
Yeah.
Can't throw the ball.
what I was going to say, though,
can't throw the ball?
I
can't
made
throw the
one
ball?
For the Simses.
The Simses?
Phil Simms.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, yes.
Phil Simms, Chris Simms, and the always forgotten and often never even known about Matt fucking Sims. Matt Sims.
Now, did he play in the video game The Sims?
He apparently was a quarterback. I forget which college, but he played two seasons sparingly. One career touchdown, one career interception, 100 yards and change for the Jets. So
even Steven, one and one.
The sports nepotism is awesome. I mean, look at Steph Curry's brother is now in the NBA. This guy's people bounce around the D League and then make the big. But you're telling me that if this guy's name was like Claude Johnson, he would be playing for the Mavericks right now? Probably not, or I think whatever team the guy plays.
I always loved Harvey Grant, just as we're there. I think we're done with the third quarter, Shoes.
Yeah, we'll write it down. We'll be right back.
Fourth quarter, going to finish up this game. Yep. Unless it goes to overtime.
That is actually this band called The Urge, who's from St. Louis, Missouri, and I hold a special place in my heart for The Urge because when I was in high school, my club volleyball team was called The Urge, and I don't know where I got this shit when I was a kid. I actually called up it was like right when email started. They had an email. It was like, here's our manager email. But I emailed this guy. I was like, hey, our volleyball team's called The Urge. We all love your music. I, at that point, had been to 15, 20 shows of theirs live.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like an Urge head. No, you traveled around following The Urge with your volleyball team.
They played in Kansas City all the time. Sure. And, but yeah, so their manager's like, yeah, come by. You're going to be at the show coming up. And it was the opening of the Uptown Theater in the fall of 1998.
Right.
After the show, went back to the tour bus, and the guy's like, yeah, let's go to the merch table and just grab whatever you want. And I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah, that's fine. Just loaded up, left with like 30 t-shirts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were super cool. And so, but that song is called Brainless by The Urge. And so when I was in high school, that was, it was like the ska, the quote, third wave of ska. And this was a more heavy,
I was big into that.
Voodoo, Glow Skulls, hardcore music, but it was great. We'd all
grunge ska
before football games. It was always on the mix. That song is always going to get you pumped up.
It was an Urge. Listen to The Urge.
It was, but the fact that they were local-ish from Kansas City at the time, or from St. Louis, but they played in Lawrence and in Kansas City 3 or 4 times a year, and were always on the local 105.9 The Laser, which was one of the best radio stations in the country.
God, I love that name.
Rolling Stones even said that themselves, would play their stuff all the time. And so,
love it.
But the concerts, reason we would go is I was 16, 17, and I was already 6'2", like 175, 180. I wasn't small, but I wasn't big either.
Hear that?
But I'm also, working out all the time, basketball, football, weights, and all that stuff. But they're, I don't think a millennial could survive a fucking concert. Like back then, like you would
ska leave. Shows were a lot of elbows. There was that weird ska dancing. You threw your elbows high.
This was beyond this. I'm not saying it was like this in Milwaukee or
back
wherever
in my
else.
Day.
But they had such big following in Kansas City. As soon as that would hit, as soon as you heard that guitar start, there would be 2,000 people packed in, and so it'd be one of those where you get the push from the back. So all of a sudden, your personal space would be 6 inches to 2 inches.
Oh yeah.
And then the crowd would be so tight, like they would just start, the whole crowd would sway. So you would go right, it was like a big domino effect. Yeah, yeah. But it would never fall over because there wasn't enough room for someone to actually slip through and fall down on the ground.
Oh, I get it.
But these mosh pits, they weren't like street fights, but you could really just lay somebody out, and it was completely fair game. I mean, some of the biggest hits I've ever put on someone were at these concerts. And just and I didn't feel bad because I was 16. I'm like, dude, you're 23 getting in here. Look, I don't care. Like,
I'm taking you out.
I'm bigger than you. Sorry. Like, you know, survival of the fittest. But there was one time.
You put one of ours in the hospital, we put one of yours in the morgue. It's a Chicago way.
I think it might have been the fall. It might have been the night that Princess Diana died. There was this big music festival in Kansas City. I remember that was like on the radio on the way home.
Sure, sure.
And the Urge comes
like
on.
Like a candle in the wind.
There was this other band, Local H, which was really good. There was two guys total in the band. And so the Urge
Local
was playing.
Local H is two guys? I love two-guy bands.
Yeah, they rocked.
Two guys is always the funniest.
What were some of the other bands? Frog Pond, I think this other band, Outhouse, that was from Lawrence, was there. There was a really good local music scene. So the Urge goes on, and we're all getting into our. And this was an outdoor. And outdoor shows can get pretty. I think they get rowdier because the quote mosh pit opens up wider because there's more space. Yeah. So now you're dealing with, you get 15 yards to run in on somebody. You can really get hurt versus the seven
I
steps.
You have a run into your mosh pit.
Oh, no.
You got a run in.
This is, you know, 20 years ago.
The launching pad?
And so we're all getting there and we're having fun and laughing. And like the music's going and. It's this weird, it's almost like if you played paintball, you know, when they blow the whistle and you're like, holy shit, I can get shot at any time. And this adrenaline like runs through your body. And that's what it would feel like. The song would start up and all of a sudden everyone's like, everyone in the audience is like in this position. And this sounds so bad for a music fan. But everyone immediately is like, I don't want to get punched in the face. Yeah. But times 2,000 people, which is a weird energy. And everyone starts moving and dancing. Look over, there's Andre the fucking Giant, the 7'2", like not literally, but a 7'2".
Oh, okay, Jesus,
a 7'2", like
yeah,
an Alex Moore, if you will, and
a Dan McGuire.
I've never left the mosh pit so Dan McGuire, if you would, so fast in my life. It was like he was just picking up people and throwing them and like shoving people down like bully would in like elementary school.
Doyle rules.
Yeah, like not just pushing them down, but shoving them down in such a violent way they end up in like a curled up ball like they're a dog on the side. You know, just I was like, you know, this might be a good time to just step out of the mosh pit. But and the workouts were incredible. Like after an Urge show, this is actually now that I think about it, I used to write music reviews for this guy I met at Urge shows when I was like 15, 16. It was before blogs. It was essentially this guy's music blog, but he had it printed up in these little magazine
little fanzines,
things.
Little free fanzines.
Yeah, kind of thing. And
I remember that.
But I've got a huge soft spot in my heart for the Urge. Their music's not as easy to listen to now that I'm a little bit older and I don't have all that teenage angst all built up and all that kind of stuff. But I love Steve Ewing, the lead singer. They were always cool, man. They'd always take pictures, autographs, and you know, just they were cool to the fans. So, guys, if you're into hardcore, heavy ska music, by all means, check out The Urge. And you Midwest listeners who are in your 30s, you guys know what I'm talking about. It was just like...
You know what I'm talking
they
about.
They were the band that, you know... It was that weird local band that was huge that not many people, I don't think, heard outside.
Word, yeah,
I mean, there's everyone's... Every area's got
absolutely.
One. And then eventually, you know, if you're in Athens, you become REM or whatever, you know.
All right.
But... Nothing. So we were talking about getting punched in the face, and
by either Mo Vaughn or Mark McGuire,
or
you had a choice. That was that also was a question from the '90s. The Urge from the '90s.
And that kind of spilled into that.
We went
retro for
a second.
And that's like the closest thing. I didn't fight really, aside from like neighborhood scuffles and stuff like that. And luckily, my brother was a badass and like didn't back down to people too. So I never really was in like the I got to defend my brother because was. Doing it himself really for the most part, but in the vein of fighting and in battles and warriors and who could win and who would Arian Foster and a wolf. And now this is beyond
Arian Foster fought a wolf.
Arian Foster came out last week, somehow was quoted to think like he could somehow take a wolf in a fight, and I don't know like what the like maybe he's thinking he saw a coyote and he thought it was a wolf, because you can see a coyote and those look like little stray dogs. A wolf can be like an 80-pound. I'm guess probably maybe even bigger if Jack London gets involved. You know,
if Jack London gets involved, call the wild kind of wolf. If it's a dire wolf from Game of Thrones, look out.
So I guess the ball is in your court. Do you think how long? I'm gonna change the question. How long? would you last with a wolf? What would your defense be? And then does
you know, I'll tell you. Okay, so A, I don't think necessarily. Well, I don't necessarily think I could beat a wolf. I'm no Aryan. I'm gonna stipulate for the record for the court that I don't necessarily think that I could beat a wolf like Arian Foster does. But I will say this, Sheez. And now I'm gonna apply. I'm gonna step it back. I'm gonna step it down just a little. To dog.
Okay.
My mother was once bit while jogging by a Doberman Pinscher. It was a very brutal. It was a neighbor's dog. Had to get put down.
Better have.
But so in a way, I always like there are points, especially when I used to run, jog, that type of thing. You know, sometimes dogs can go a little crazy, or something. You know, you just especially in L.A. There's lots of pit bulls and people who have like. I mean, you go down to Venice Beach, guys who aren't from around here. It's like there are dudes who just like love to go out on Venice Beach with a dog. Literally, and when I say a chain, I mean an actual like the giant, like the links are as big as your fingers put together.
My Hawaiian friends would tell me about like that they just throw the chain on the dog at the tire at the beach and like
yeah. Make we're not the talking dog- about like a little leash yeah. chain. We're and, talking about like an actual chain
and,
that's you
and
know.
That's like hey, I'm getting my dog. You know, but in Hollywood,
they used to lock fences
in Venice Beach, it's more of an accessory for the right. male. It's like a woman carries a purse, a guy has a tough dog, a wife beater, and probably some cargo shorts with a belt.
So my strategy, Sheez, in fighting a dog, and I would upgrade this to wolf because I would. Honestly, I would take the exact same strategy. Is I always think I'm going to give up my arm. I'm going to give up my forearm. I'm going to give it to the dog to bite. I'm going to shove it. I'm like literally I'm expecting to get bitten. So what I'm really going to do
Dude, this is great. I like
this. I'm going to take my forearm and that's going to get fucked up. I don't know what I'll have left for an arm when I'm done, but I'm going to shove and then when he gets it, I'm going to like shove it down into his mouth.
This is,
and then well, that's happening, and that's going to hurt a lot. I'm going to use like, and by the way, guys, you can't see what I'm doing. I'm using my left. I'm going to give up my left forearm. Hopefully,
he's like headlock style, but
I'm giving it as a bite. I'm giving it as a target, yeah. which then I'm
trying
and
to
then
describe
I'm hoping
the, how your arm
bite, and then I'm going to work. I'm going to work the body. I mean, I'm going to use my right, and by the way, just so you know, I'm just going to say this for the record, also, since we're in a, I don't know why I'm in a court of law setting now, but.
It's better that
if
way.
If your dog bites me, I may kill your dog right there on the spot. And you're like, oh my God, you killed my dog. Yeah, your fucking dog is a savage animal that attacked a human, and I'm going to have the right to euthanize it brutally right on the spot. I might strangle your dog with the other hand. I might just keep hitting it until I crush his ribs. I will do whatever I can to beat that dog or wolf. But I don't think I have as much chance of a wolf.
I like that strategy, yeah. though. You know, you
sacrifice part of it.
And then, I mean, like I just imagine you like wearing a wolf like a shield and then just working the body and the nuts, like punching him in the
dick. I'm not afraid to punch him in the nuts. I didn't actually say that, but I'm not afraid of that.
They are open. I feel like I would have. I've only been bitten by a dog a few times. The last time I was bitten by a dog was out here, and unfortunately it was... The owner was a lady friend that I was trying to court, and so you know, punishing the dog really wasn't on the list of things that were possibly.
It's not gonna help.
But not ever seeing her too much more after that was definitely on the list. I'm like, it was one of those things where I'm like, it was her and the dog. Yeah. It was with like
you were
all the time.
It was
the
couple. And you actually were dating the two of them.
And the dog sucked, and it was just it really.
What kind of dog did you?
It was like one of those little. Ugh. Like soft and
as soon as you said little I just went ugh
it, and it's not I mean there's nice little dogs too but it was just kind of like it was kind of like that mangy prissy kind of that's just it's not soft to touch kind of it stinks it smelled Ooh. Weird all the time Ooh. It just was a shitty dog yeah. and so just
not
know,
a Shih Tzu just a shitty dog
you know just know listeners or women, guys, your dog says a lot about you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why people play up the rescue thing so they can be like, no, I'm all about just helping people. If people are full of hair and walk on all fours and bark and yes. don't speak a language, yeah. Then I'm all about helping. All right, so Arian Foster is a moron. Which is worse?
Hey, man, no, you know what? I don't know. First of all, I wouldn't want to get punched by Arian Foster.
No.
I think he could beat the...
Now, and this the other thing. Is this Arian Foster and Miami Dolphins Arian Foster? Is this Arian Foster pre-2 knee surgeries 6 years ago Arian Foster? I don't know.
He was one of the worst parts. I mean, and it was one of the worst parts of that, Hard Knocks Houston Texans Foster was on it, but it's like he's having a comeback, and his brother is his physical trainer. Like, his brother is like, and they're doing how he's doing all this stuff, and it's gonna be the healthiest he's ever been, and then what happens? Hamstring, done.
Just like that.
That blew out the whole season. Yep. Injury, gone.
God damn it.
Now he's into fighting wolves.
Well, you know, I think what happened was is he saw how awesome everything went for Kyrie Irving with the Earth is Flat thing, and then he called up Irving and was like, hey, yo, dog, homie, you were...
Oh, yeah, we have to get a flat earth.
You were trending. You were trending for like 2 straight weeks with that flat earth shit.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think if I come at him with
fight a wolf.
I can beat a wolf in a fight shit. And Kyrie Irving was like, I think that's a good idea, and you will sound stupid, but not as dumb as I did.
I will say this. I mean, I would watch.
I think that might have been.
If you put wolf fighting on TV, like man versus wolf, I'd watch that more than I watch UFC.
Would you watch the old? What's the old question? I saw a football version of this where they put a guy. They would be so fun. They put like 58-year-olds in football pads and a full-grown man punted the ball to him, just like him just running away from 50 kids. I mean, they got him every time just because it was inevitable. You can't avoid 50 kids on a field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the old question, I think this might have even started with the Bill Burr something like years and years ago, but how many kids are they're coming to murder you? How many 5-year-old kids could you take out before they finally got now, and here's the you're in a field.
I'm taking out at least a baker's dozen of little children.
You say you're on a football field, so there is room to juke. You're not like in a small basketball.
Yeah.
Five or six?
No, I think. Well, do I have a weapon? It's a tough question.
Let's just say no weapons. They don't have weapons. You do not have weapons.
Boy, God, I don't know.
I feel.
I gotta tell you, I don't have my biggest problem, my biggest frustration right now. I had a wolf strategy. You saw me come
that was
right.
I said,
I'm giving up my left forearm and I'm gonna jam it. Like he's gonna bite
great,
it. And I'm gonna.
It was a great wolf. See, my kid's strategy. I go after the smallest kid first, and then use him or her as a weapon.
Oh, that's a great! Oh my God, that's what you do. You pick one of them up and use them as a club.
Yes.
That is absolutely what
like
you
if
do.
If I can get my hands on a 24-month-old or a 36-month-old, someone that's like right in that 25 to 30-pound wheelhouse, like that's a pretty devastating weapon. You swing that kid around by the foot, like maybe get two of them, and you're like swinging them around. So you're creating a nice 12-foot
radius. I feel like it would be an all-time height for all your kicking damage. Like it's like. It's like I don't know how great, you know, how much I don't know how much if I kicked you I could injure you, but I'm telling you, like kicking kids, I know I would be like it would be really I'd be getting peak performance out of my kicks.
Just put on a nice pair of like steel-toed soccer cleats. And the other thing is like I'm not flexible.
I might have to wear Timberland boots, actually, but I mean, or some sort of heavy boot.
A kid that tops out at 42 inches, like I can't kick that high, but that's like right that's chest height.
It's important to not go down on the ground. You have to stay on your feet as long as possible.
That's
because
true,
once they,
as you
like,
get one on top,
you can't get like you know like Gulliver got tied down by all the little cushions. You can't go down to the ground.
It's very much it's a Walking Dead kind of vibe. You know, no. Once one gets you, I feel like you get slowed down and nice. So
I know how many child zombies could you get through?
Oh man!
But then I wouldn't need a knife.
Well, this has been. This has been a great episode, actually. Anything you want to throw in here before we round out the episode number 135?
I'd like to say hi to Mo Vaughn. Thanks, man.
Mo,
thanks, Hit Dog.
Yeah. And again, real quick, shout out to the sponsors. And I'm serious, guys. If you need shirts printed up for work or like a family reunion or just, you know, if you have a basketball or softball team, go to unionpresskc.com. That's unionpressletterskc.com. Very affordable. They're doing a special right now. I think it's 12 printed shirts, one color for $72, I believe, is the special. But if you go to unionpresskc.com, they'll actually have the exact number there. But like I said, they do great work. They're real quick, and they can work with you with the design and make sure you're getting exactly what you want to get. And if you're starving, which a lot of people are down in Southern California, if you're in La Jolla, you've been on the beach all day, you've been smelling
Let me tell you about a good burrito.
You've been smelling sea lion shit in La Jolla Cove.
Beach.
Great time. You're hungry. You know, you've been out in the sun, beautiful women.
I could eat a wagon.
Gorgeous dudes everywhere. You know, for,
it's just a little something for everybody.
Surf City, USA. What you're going to want to do is go by Don Carlos Tacos, Caddy Kitty Corner from the world famous La Jolla Comedy Store. Get yourself a Trevino burrito, eat that, and then 45 minutes later, go to the bathroom. It is amazing. Good food. You're going to love it. Don Carlos Tacos at Eat a Burrito on Instagram and Twitter. And comedy fans, Midwest, Topeka, please, on March 15th, I'll be there. I don't know too many people in Topeka, so that's why I'm throwing this out so heavy. Louis Lounge, 8 p.m., March 15th, Wednesday. Jefferson City, March 16th, Thursday. Avenue HQ, 8 p.m. for you middle of Missouri folks. And you Southern Missouri Ozark moonshiners down there, that's going to be the Blue Room Lounge, 8 p.m.
See the Shees, everybody. You won't regret it. See the Shees.
10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, St. Patrick's Day and the day after, March 17th.
Hangover special.
And 18th. More information at John, J-O-N, is here.com.
And, we're about to leave here, John.
Yeah, you know what? And what you've been hearing right now is a great song called Nightmare by Nightmares on Wax, You Wish, was sampled in hip-hop songs. You love it. So we'll leave you guys.
Hey,
with
guys,
this.
Thanks for listening. I'm Eric Marino. That's John Sheezer. This is a train whistle. Stay obsessed.
Stay obsessed, please.